listening to the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty. This is not your typical food show. We're talking about the politics of food, the corruption of our food supply, and what you can do to stand and fight back. Now, once again, here's Elizabeth.
Hey, everybody, we're back. You're listening to Food Nation Radio Network. I'm Elizabeth Doherty. We're talking with Professor Verrilli from Stetson University College of Law today about the continuation, pending, of the Monsanto Protection Act. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, a lot of people call this a farmer's assurance provision, and it was stuck in this bill that continued to fund the government. And now 6 months have gone by, and apparently the House has passed this same resolution. The Senate hasn't passed it yet. But didn't we think that this would be taken out by now? And what are the implications of this, in your opinion?
The best way for me to address it is from a constitutional vantage point, since I'm not an expert in food law proper. Certainly it was controversial the first time, but apparently not sufficiently controversial for the House members to eliminate it. There are some strong supporters, particularly large agribusiness, and my understanding is that there are a fair number of supporters in Congress for the reason that it facilitates ongoing practices in the agriculture industry, for example, after seeds are in the ground, despite the fact that some pending court decisions may potentially interfere with that growing season or with farmers' plans for a particular season.
Now, originally, the people in Congress said, oh, we didn't even know this was in there, or we probably wouldn't have passed it, and we would have certainly said something about it. Apparently, they're passing this thing as an entire resolution without changing anything. So it's not even specifically stated in there that this is part of it, but it's the same thing, just continuing. And previously, we said, well, there wouldn't be a constitutional challenge, most likely, because it was only for 6 months. But what do you think about that now?
Well, I think there's several reasons that a constitutional challenge is unlikely. The first is that there isn't any constitutional prohibition on the legislature passing things without reading them, unfortunately. So it wouldn't be the first time that bills have gotten through the Congress with some, or in some cases, large numbers of representatives either not reading them carefully or claiming they didn't understand them or maybe not having seen them at all. So the other challenge, as I understand it, that has everybody sort of talking about this particular provision is its preclusion of some forms of judicial review. So the act or the provision operates to allow the Secretary of Agriculture to permit genetically modified food growers and other people in the industry to continue doing what they're doing, even in the face of judicial decisions, federal judicial decisions to the contrary. And that has brought up the challenge that there's some sort of separation of powers problem brewing, because anytime Congress interacts with the judiciary to limit its power, we at least have to ask the question constitutionally.
Sure. And how do we ask the question when they keep doing it for such short periods of time and then continuing it?
As I see it, there's two parallel questions, at least two. One is the timing question you've asked. So does it make a difference that it's only being done for ostensibly short periods of time? I think that question is harder. So as is my, as I always like to tell my students, if you can avoid the harder ones in favor of the easy one, go with the easy one.
Okay.
The easier one is, does Congress have the power to do this generally? And there's certainly room for debate on that, but there are lots of reasons to think that they can. So that's not a problem. In terms of taking jurisdiction away from the federal courts, which is not exactly what's happening here, but it's an analog, there's lots of constitutional precedent that says Congress has large amounts of control, significant control over the jurisdiction even of the lower federal courts. Again, that's not exactly what's happening here, but it sort of reflects the relationship and how much control Congress can exercise.
Well, let's pretend you're, public citizens concerned about food safety and you want to take action on this. You can't sue Congress. So who do you sue?
You basically go straight to the Department of Agriculture. Whether you can bring suit internally in internal agency proceedings is one thing. I don't know the answer to that as I sit here, what the internal agency processes involve. But oftentimes, most times I would say, agencies have internal adjudicated proceedings where you can challenge what's going on. I guess the short answer, and I should have probably started here, is that it's a political solution first.
So in other words, vote these people out solution.
Right. And to be perfectly honest, that's what the Constitution anticipates in lots of cases.
Right.
Congress has a constitutional license to make mistakes if it wants. Mm. That doesn't make what they're doing unconstitutional. Now, interfering with the role of the courts is a red flag. It just isn't always enough of a problem to raise a constitutional crisis or to require a constitutional solution. But the real, I mean, the easy answer is that this begs for a political solution. There's no question that the Secretary of Agriculture can continue to find these materials or these GMOs, genetically modified organisms, can continue to regulate them if it continues to find that they require regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the classic political solution. Change the hearts and minds of the people in charge, or change the people in charge.
Sure, because when you see these people who are running for office, everybody who's running is taking money from the same people. So who are you going to vote for? It is a real problem. And I really appreciate you taking the time to explain this to us, because our listeners are concerned about this issue in a big way, because they feel like this is so much control by just a handful of companies that are these big ag companies. It's tying the hands of our government in their view.
Well, I hope I was able to do some good in terms of shedding some light on this. It is a complicated question, and I understand why people are some combination of confused and upset by it.
I would say more upset. But yes, I really appreciate your time. Professor Verrilli from Stetson University College of Law, thank you so much for your insight, as always.
Thank you for having me.
Did you miss any part of the show? Listen anytime at businesstalkradio.net and click podcasts. And be sure to follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Food Nation Radio. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern for Food Nation Radio on the Business Talk Radio Network. This is the Food Nation Radio Network with Elizabeth Doherty.